Hello, you're listening to a podcast from oxinthebox.co.uk with Catherine McAllister.
Hello, I'm here with Dr. Dane, Ford, who is the festival director of IF Oxford, which is the big science and ideas festival currently underway. Now, it kicked off at the weekend. How's it been going so far?
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
So we started on Friday at a really beautiful event at the Western Library on Broad Street. So there's this piece called, it's Then and Now, or Now and Then. And it's about some photographs that were taken about 30 or so years ago from a guy called Daniel Meadows. And the Bodleian has this exhibition going on. And that was an inspiration for doing this hands-on kind of festival zone that we did on Friday night. So we had a whole bunch of hands-on activities looking at future thinking. What does the past mean to you? There was some artifacts, like buildings, obviously, around us. And so using Oxford as a kind of canvas to kind of think about kind of change over time. And then there was another artist who had supersized some baby milk teeth. So she had a full set of baby milk teeth dentures, about sort of 30 or 40 times as big as they should be on these pedestals, just thinking about what legacy do we leave behind. So just thinking about now and then and now. And then at the weekend, on Saturday, we were all in town at the Westgate Shopping Centre, looking at anything from, you know, space rockets and engineering systems through to health. Someone was suturing bananas, so cutting open a banana and stitching it back up like a surgeon. There was another person doing knee surgery at the town hall yesterday. We had the lovely poetry competition. So we launched this poetry competition at the start of the year, and we had 500 entries from young people between 6 and 16 from across the county and also beyond. And we had the three winners announced, and we had six runners-up and a specially commended poem. And the nice thing about that event is that you might think of a festival as a professor talking about milk teeth or a professor talking about heat shields and spacecraft re-entry, and you might imagine what that professor might look like, but on the same platform you've got a five-year-old child reading their poem about icicles or a cat or the weather or whatever science means to them.
There was a lot of people congregated around a dinosaur as well, I saw.
Yes.
Over the weekend at the Westgate.
Iggy.
It was really busy.
Yes, Iggy. So there was a big, it was a life-size model of the Iguanodon dinosaur, and Oxford has a special relationship with this Iguanodon. So there's a guy called William Buckland, who was kicking around Oxford at the time of the Great Exhibition in London. And so the story goes, they were sort of discussing what these dinosaurs kind of mean. And, you know, back in the day, paleontologist wasn't a word. So they called them undergroundologists, I think. So they were people that would kind of dig underground and get stuff out. And there were all these kind of, you know, dinosaur bones, and people thought they were dragons and all sorts of, you know, the kind of George and St. George slaying the dragon kind of story that was, you know, so people just didn't know what they were. And so William Buckland was kind of trying to work out how this dinosaur skeleton was put together. And the a bit like a rhinoceros kind of horn, they thought it went on there, but ended up being its toe, I think. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you have to go to the Museum of Natural History and check for yourself. So the story was, in the Great Exhibition in London, they'd built this dinosaur, and because these were sort of, you know, quite eccentric Victorian type people, they decided to have dinner in the belly of this dinosaur. And so we came across this Iguanodon restaurant. We thought, we've just got to have it.
Yeah. You know?
So we had this life-size dinosaur in the Westgate opposite the John Lewis shop, and there was a piece of theatre, and this dinosaur is there and its belly opens up, and there's people in there, Mary Anning, William Buckland, all having kind of this bonkers Victorian kind of banquet, and some of the kids who were watching kind of got up on stage and joined in the party. So and also learning a little bit about the dinosaur. Fortunately, I was busy running around other parts of the festival, so I should have seen the show, and I would have known if the claw was a claw or a rhinoceros horn. So that's something for people to do their research on themselves.
So I went on the Only Expansion Tour, which is a special audioscape, isn't it? Specially made headphone-related... starting at Oxford Playhouse and then taking it where you want, which makes you look at what Oxford may be like in the future, global warming, the environment, all sorts of things. You're obviously trying to engage lots of different kinds of people in lots of different kinds of things.
That's right.
Is there a theme this year, or is that the purpose?
The purpose is sort of you make up your own festival and you make up your own theme and connections. So some festivals go ahead and so they put together maybe a highly curated programme of activities that are going, maybe we'll explore identity, or maybe we'll explore I don't know, the environment, or maybe we'll explore something else. What I like to do is to kind of put together lots of different potential connections in the festival programme, and then people who come along, they can flick through it and go, oh, I like that, I might go to that. Wouldn't normally go to that thing, but I might give it a try. And then people are able to put their own theme together. So the broadest theme that we're sort of looking at is complexity and sort of intrigue, and getting subjects that people might be a little bit familiar with, but also put a bit of a spin or a new twist on it, so people can think, oh, I thought I knew that, and now I know it a little bit more. Or I thought I didn't like that, and it turns out it was actually quite fun. Or I thought I knew everything about that, and there we go. Now I feel like I need to do some more reading, or some more, some more Wikipedia-ing or something like that. So the theme is the kind of connection between science and creativity, because sometimes people think that science is all written down and we know all the facts, but that's not true. And people think that artistic processes aren't scientific in nature. So even artists... So this Only Expansion piece that we're just talking about, the artist is using a huge amount of technology to create this sort of sonic environment. So there are headphones on the outside, so headphones that have microphones on the outside of them, and the sound comes into the microphones, get all mixed up and kind of manipulated, obviously using tech, and then you kind of listen to that to kind of see how you fit within this sort of new sonic environment of a place like Oxford. So science and art and creativity and technology and magic, if you like, all do fit together quite nicely to have that human experience of wonder. You know, so maybe the theme is wonder. I don't know.
You've also called it science and ideas. The ideas bit's obviously quite important. Is that, again, to broaden the scope of what people, or to stop the name science being quite so perhaps intimidating to some people?
Some people may be intimidated by the word science. I mean, if you kind of close your eyes and think for a moment what a scientist looks like, you might have a particular image. And it might be that image has been sort of perpetuated through, you know, comic strips, cartoons, films, Hollywood, all the rest of it. But scientists just are of every shape and size that you can imagine. Likewise, artists are too. And so what we wanted to do was say, you know, there's a huge amount of science and technology innovation that's happening in and around Oxford. Let's get that out in interesting and curious ways to get people inspired about what's happening in their local culture. And then some people might be intimidated by that, as you say. And so the ideas addition to the programme is kind of a way to go, well, surely everyone likes ideas. Mm. You know, there might be bad ideas, and there might be good ideas, but at the same time, they're still curious and worth investigating, much in the same way that, you know, it's just about to become autumn, isn't it? So, or it is autumn, and the leaves are starting to fall, and you kind of think back into the, you know, the Newtonian apple falling on his head kind of story. And we can enjoy the leaves and the seed pods kind of spinning round down to the ground. It's a scientific process, and it's also quite beautiful. So science can be just beautiful in itself, kind of the physics and the particle, you know, kind of particle physics through to the physics of a seed pod falling from a tree can just have a really beautiful kind of shape to it. So it's a kind of, what the festival wants to try and do is just to say that there's huge amounts of things that are just interesting and wonderful. Let's just examine them more closely. So there's ideas in science and there's science in art and creativity. So.
We talked last week, didn't we, about whether science is definitely more acceptable and sort of now that the geeky nerds are trendy, that it's a subject that everyone's suddenly much more interested in or allowed to be
Black plastic glasses are back in, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So we've both got black plastic glasses. Yeah. I see they're on the table. I think it's kind of okay to be a little bit of what would be considered a nerd or a geek or possibly even, you know, a swot. You know, it's okay to kind of try hard and do well. Whereas, I don't know, back in the kind of 90s, maybe it was, I mean, that's when I was in school, you know, it's not okay to be a swot or a nerd. But I just quite liked chemistry and maths at the time. So I think, yeah, there has been a culture change in the country that that it's kind of okay to like kind of technology. But also, if you don't like technology, if you don't understand technology, you're just not going to be able to, you know, call your friends or text message your parents or, you know, email. You know, you need to be able to kind of use a smartphone. You need to be able to connect to the internet, your social media, your data privacy connected to your social media, your kind of facial recognition attached to your phone if you've got one of these new fancy phones. So the technology is becoming even more intimately connected with the human experience. That I think there is an aspect of, like, it's okay to be a bit of a geek, but it's also, it's really important to be able to understand these things, because if you don't,
you're
just going to get left behind and you're going to get lost.
Yeah. We should talk a bit about also why Oxford is sort of prevalent, important place to have this sort of festival. Mm-hmm. It fits, doesn't it?
It does fit, yeah. You know, so the density of kind of innovation that's coming out of this city is mesmerising, actually. You know, you wind the clock back by 50 years or 100 years or even more, and some of the discoveries that were kind of happening back then are now really, you know, really relevant. You know, battery technology, for instance. Oxford was a leading kind of pioneer of battery technology, you know, MRI scanners, for instance. If you've been going to the hospital, if you've broken something or you've been diagnosed with having cancer or something, an MRI scanner is really important. All of that stuff was developed here, you know. So it might be that in 50 years' time, there's a new quantum computer that we're now kind of using that you think, oh, where did that come from? It turns out Oxford was, you know, physicists at the University of Oxford are kind of involved with this. There's a huge kind of technology kind of effort to make a quantum computer work. And it's sort of distributed. There's you know, places in Edinburgh and you know, Cambridge and London that are doing similar kind of pieces of work. But Oxford has always been, and I think will always be, a centre of kind of real intense kind of discovery. And so why not celebrate and enjoy some of that human creativity? I mean, that's what it is. To have a festival that explores that, where you get to meet the people who are making these discoveries and you get to talk about it. And you can be, you know, you're not, you know, you might not be part of a research group, but you'll be one of the kind of few thousand people that have kind of experienced what it's like to see what a quantum computer might look like or hear about some of the kind of ethical dimensions of new internet kind of technologies and kind of data kind of security, which might on the surface of it sound quite boring, but the amount of connection that you have with this thing called the internet, it's every day. So it's sort of, it's relevant, isn't it? So it might be quite complicated and hard. So in a festival, let's kind of make it a little bit more accessible. And what we'll do is maybe we'll have a, you know, a little tabletop kind of demo with a thing spinning round. You've got to drop something on the spinning round thing, and that represents a really long and complicated mathematical formula, which you don't really need to know. But the principle of kind of balancing this kind of thing on a spinning round thing, for instance, is sort of enough that you kind of get the idea. And even sort of, you know, if you don't understand, you know, these huge scientific equations, sometimes the scientific equation is only a representation of this phenomenon. So just talking about the kind of the seed pods falling down from a tree, you can enjoy that and you can even draw the trail of it kind of spiraling down. You can draw that shape and you can sort of enjoy its kind of, you know, its beauty. And there's a really complicated formula that will describe that. And you don't need to know the complicated formula to enjoy the whirligig falling down from a tree in autumn. So that's sort of what we're trying to do, is go, you don't have to be a world expert in this, but you can have a go.
Is that why? I mean, you've got some wonderful things. You've got sort of stand-up comedy by scientists, and you've got talks in the pub, and you've got dance. Again, you've sort of brought the arts in it to open it up a lot more.
Yeah, it's just an enjoyable kind of night out, isn't it? Like, if you've got a comedian on stage, or you've got some really kind of skilled dancer doing something.
A brilliant way in for people to see science, or just a bit of fun?
It's a bit of both, you know. So it's a good night out. You know, you go to a comedian on a Wednesday night, or a dance thing on a Tuesday. So there's a couple of these things. We had an American comic on stage at the Wigan Pen the other night. We've got a cabaret in the festival. We've got some films. We've got a lovely dance piece in the fire station that's looking at kind of disability in a different way. So this really powerful and beautiful dance called 111, which is a dance between a guy called Joel, who broke his spine when he was a young person, and he kind of says, "Oh, I've only got 10 vertebrae in my spine." And he's dancing with this lady called Eve, and she's principal ballerina at the Scottish Royal Ballet. And he says, "Oh, it's like she's got 100 vertebrae," which is why it's called 111. And the two of them just do this really incredible, just sexy, it's beautiful, it's tender, it's powerful, this really amazing dance. We're not talking about kind of biomechanics, but the whole piece is about biomechanics, you know. So I broke my leg in January while on a mountain, and sort of suddenly became interested in orthopedics. So it's like, well, this is a really interesting subject. How about we kind of try and find a piece of dance that shows orthopedics in a new light? We'll all have these kind of things that we come across. And if it's, you know, there's a thing about are my immune cells giving me heart disease? Thankfully, I've not had heart disease, but, you know, it might be that someone's interested in heart disease. Let's do a kind of light-hearted exploration of heart disease, if you can do such a thing. Or let's do a kind of light-hearted, really beautiful exploration of kind of spinal injuries, if you can do such a thing. So it's just a case of, here are all these brilliant people talking about really interesting subjects, and it's a fun night out. Get a beer, enjoy a thing, talk about it with your friends, go home, and that's a bit of Oxford culture for you.
For all the boffins, though, there's lots for them as well, isn't there? There's some quite serious stuff. You were talking last week about the AI discussion with the Bishop of Oxford, for example.
Yeah.
It sounds quite